news, weather, truth, and fun. We're iHub Radio, homegrown in the Coachella Valley. For a fresh take on the news with Anita Rufus, you won't know if you don't listen.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me. This is hour two of our live presentation every Saturday from 10 to noon here at iHub Radio. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. I'm kind of ticked off today, though. You know, this whole thing about essential workers not being given protective gear, not being afforded the kind of health care that would make sure that if they got sick, they wouldn't end up with a bill. The fact that essentials often means expendables, and this is something that just infuriates me. However, there's a whole lot of other news going on, and I do not want to spend my whole time today on the virus because we are all overwhelmed with that news. So watch what they're doing all around the world. May Day, May 1st, is generally seen as Workers' Day around the world. It is the reason that traditionally places like Russia have these big parades to celebrate the workers. And North Korea and China and places all over the world. Well, because of the virus, a lot of places aren't doing outdoor major gatherings. However, there were some May Day celebrations in Athens, Greece. Hundreds of Greeks who were wearing masks and gloves and standing 6 feet apart gathered outside the parliament to celebrate May Day. In Spain, the labor unions held online events because the courts in Spain struck down the proposals to gather outdoors. Now, we do know that you know, a lot of pressure is going on now here in the States to reopen. But I'm concerned because where judges in Spain struck down proposals to gather outdoors after Spain has had such a difficult time with the virus there, here, lots of conservative leaders and big money people and organizations have in fact launched a legal onslaught against state and local restrictions intended to slow down the spread of the virus. They want churches to be able to hold services. They want businesses to reopen and people to be able to visit with family and friends. And there is an increasing sign of support from a very powerful ally in the government, the Justice Department. Bill Barr has issued a memorandum that directs two of his department's top lawyers to lead an effort with other federal agencies to monitor state and local policies, and if necessary, to take action to correct those that might be violating the constitutional rights and civil liberties of individual citizens. And of course, that is what led to the disgusting display in Michigan with people carrying assault weapons and screaming that the government had to open up. You've got the same thing going on right now in Huntington Beach, California, because how could the governor close the beaches? Well, when those beaches were open in Orange County, L.A. County and San Diego County had closed down the beaches, but Orange County had left them open. And in Huntington Beach, people flocked out to the beach, but they did not observe distancing. And so the governor, Governor Newsom, shut down the beaches in Orange County. Well, there's a huge uprising in Huntington Beach of people who want the beaches open. Well, you know what? Either you're going to take responsibility and at least socially distance, physically distance yourself on the beach. Wear a mask so that if you sneeze, you're not potentially making somebody else sick. take some social responsibility. If we're in this together, then that means we're not just taking care of ourselves. We're also concerned about our impact on other people. I will say, after watching that disgusting display in Michigan, it was, at least for me, an absolutely delightful reality to see what the word civilized can mean. Canada, it was announced by the Prime Minister of Canada that Canada will ban the use and trade, meaning purchasing, of roughly 1,500 different kinds of assault-style weapons. Now, you know, last month in Nova Scotia, there was the worst mass shooting in Canada's history. 22 people were killed. And Canada will now ban the use and trade of assault-style weapons. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said, "These weapons were designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to kill the largest number of people in the shortest amount of time. There is no use and no place for such weapons in Canada." Now, I have to say, my late husband was a Canadian citizen, and he and a lot of his friends who had come down to the States and they were working in the show business profession and had been here for upwards of 50 years paying taxes, and the only thing they couldn't, they all had green cards, the only thing they could not do was vote. But they never wanted to give up their Canadian citizenship. And part of the reason for that was that Canada had this kind of ability to show what it means to be civilized. And of course, they never wanted to give up the chance to be able to access the kind of health care that is available to Canadians and not necessarily to Americans. Now, watch what they're doing. During this virus, Republican and Democratic lawmakers have bought and sold stocks hundreds of times throughout this whole pandemic. And some of them made lucrative moves to invest in industries that were in fact being pushed up by this crisis, and to sell stock holdings they had in companies that ran restaurants and hotels that were tanking economically. There have been those, because we've had situations before where members, elected members of Congress, apparently or obviously had insider information and made money off of stocks. And there was a move by some to say that people in elected office should not be able to be invested in the stock market, or at the very least, they should have to put everything in a blind trust where purchases and sales are made by someone over whom they do not have direct control. And I think that's not such a bad idea. To me, the beauty of being willing to do public service also means that you have an obligation to the public to be doing things that are totally above board. Now, we do know, I've talked a lot about the kinds of regulations that the Trump administration is trying to slash, and it turns out that this administration is using this medical emergency, as well as economic devastation going on right now in our country, as cover to be able to overturn rules and regulations that were put in place a long time ago to protect us. The Environmental Protection Agency has stopped enforcing rules on air pollution and water quality. The EPA said that the virus was affecting government laboratories where samples are analyzed, impairing its ability to determine whether companies are violating pollution rules. The agency asked industry to act responsibly. Yeah, that'll have great, huge impact. When you ask private companies to act responsibly. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, has curbed workplace inspections, even though the virus has led to more concern about safety on the job, especially for those essentials. Labor unions are concerned because OSHA already had fewer inspectors making the rounds than before, because this administration doesn't really give a crap about the workers. I don't care what they say. They don't. They care about the businesses, and they care about the kind of support they get from businesses that gives them the kind of huge reserves of money to be going into this next election. The Federal Reserve has started allowing big banks to keep less cash on hand to cover potential losses. This was a rule that was put in place after the financial crisis in 2007, 2008, and the Great Recession. And President Trump has broadly opposed rules on the financial industry. The Treasury Department is considering very tough terms on an emergency $10 billion loan to the U.S. Postal Service. And Donald Trump is very unhappy about the Postal Service because he doesn't like the head of Amazon and because the Postal Service is delivering a lot of Amazon packages. He wants them to jack up the price that they charge Amazon for delivering packages, in which case Amazon, rather than pay the higher amounts, can just put in place delivery services that go around the Postal Service. But the president doesn't seem to understand that the reason we have the kind of postal service we have in this country is so that people that live out in the remote rural areas, the areas he counts on for votes, those people need to be able to get mail. They need to be able to get broadband. And that is not happening. The government is not putting in place those kinds of things or supporting the very services that the Postal Service offers to areas that otherwise might not have much service. Lobbyists are out in full force right now, including the lobbyists for the meat and poultry processors who wanted to make sure that their plants could reopen. And as I said, the president in his executive order reopening those plants without regard to those essential workers who are clearly expendables, he put in place protections so that those companies can't be sued for not having provided safety. Lobbyists, the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, which reviews federal rules, has been absolutely churning through the possibilities being offered by corporate lobbyists. The administration wants to pause enforcement of regulation on small businesses during the crisis, even though it doesn't say which ones. Where is the transparency that lets us know what the government is really doing, which ultimately will hurt us all, perhaps even more than the virus will? Watch what they're doing. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal, and you are listening to iHub Radio.
Live from Palm Springs, she calls it as she sees it. Local talk that's moving the needle. Here's Anita Rufus on iHub Radio.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the press, because the president is constantly going off on the press because he doesn't like to be criticized. Who does? But you know, some of us take criticism and, you know, we kind of evaluate it and decide whether or not it seems appropriate to apply that criticism to what we're doing. Or we may get criticism and decide that the person who is criticizing us has no leg to stand on. But around the world, the press is under fire, especially from authoritarian governments. And let's face it, President Trump really does think that he is totally in control and in power. How dare anyone criticize him? Well, the virus is illustrating that the need for reliable information is huge. And Reporters Without Borders, an international organization, released its annual ranking of countries based on the strength of press freedom last week. And they highlighted several countries. Iran is ranked 173rd in the world. China is ranked 177th in the world, reflecting that those governments censor their major virus outbreak coverage. They were focusing, Reporters Without Borders was focusing on this pandemic as an exacerbating factor in the way that countries are dealing with press. This censorship, this limiting of how much news actually gets out to the people in their own countries, let alone to the world, is a risk to people's health and safety during this pandemic. It also makes people more susceptible to falling for rumors as those governments are putting out information that is not accurate. ABC News said, "We can't have governments undermining people's trust and confidence in news, because believing news right now can actually save people's lives." Hungary, which is ranked 89th on this ranking by Reporters Without Borders, Hungary, their parliament passed a coronavirus law that includes penalties of up to 5 years in prison for anyone who publishes what the government of Hungary deems to be false information. Norway, Finland, and Denmark were the highest on the list for countries where there was not pressure to censor news. By the way, the United States ranked 45th on that list. But Norway, Finland, and Denmark topped the list. And the United States was behind much of Europe because the president has continued to attack the credibility of the media's reporting on the administration's response to the crisis. And in fact, the president himself has occasionally spread potentially dangerous misinformation, like, why can't we just use disinfectant to clean out people's lungs? Okay, I want to talk briefly about the fact that judges are still making a big difference, because I care about that intensely. An appeals court reinstated the California law requiring background checks for people buying ammunition. We have a law in California that says that if you're going to buy ammunition, you have to be subject to background check. This appeals court reversed a lower court decision that would have stopped that checks. The lower court judge said it violated the constitutional right to bear arms to have to go through a background check before you buy ammunition. Well, this appeals court reinstated the California law. That law took effect last July. It requires Californians to pass an in-store background check before buying ammunition. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, any purchase of ammunition, even online, should require a background check. The Supreme Court came out with some rulings this week. An 8-1 decision. Good heavens. They almost never get that close to unanimous. An 8-1 decision by the Supreme Court effectively prevented Republicans in Congress from undermining a key part of the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare. The Supreme Court ruled that Congress must make good on the law's promise to reimburse insurers who sustain losses because of their participation in the health care exchanges that were set up under that legislation. In another case, the Supreme Court justices took a pass on issuing what could have been their first decision in over 10 years in what the Second Amendment is actually able to cover. This was about this gun control measure in New York that had become moot because New York had appealed the law because they didn't want the Supreme Court to rule on it. And in a third case, the Supreme Court ruled that Georgia could not copyright its legal code, which includes state laws and the official explanations of those laws, because that could have meant that the state would charge people to get hold of the text of laws so that they would know whether or not they had to abide by them. Good for the Supreme Court.
Because you only think you know the truth. Striking blows against the corporate talk radio monolith in the Coachella Valley. iHub Radio. Participation encouraged, but not required. Here's Anita Rufus.
Okay, again, I appreciate you tuning in. I am here live every Saturday from 10 to noon on iHub Radio. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. I want to go through a few more things of watch what they're doing. The Oscars, did you hear about this big change for the Oscars? Well, theaters are closed. Their new movies are not being released. But the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has decided, by a Zoom meeting, of course, that with so many theaters shut down, movies that have just been streamed will be eligible for the Oscars this year. So even though they haven't been actually released to a theater. Now, of course, there's been some speculation about which movies are going to be allowed to be considered, because there's a whole lot of films that are floating all over the internet that aren't exactly like movies. But it will be interesting to see, especially because the ability to put together new movies or new TV shows when you can't have people in the same place relating closely is really challenging. And I've been fascinated by the kind of late night comedy shows that they're doing where everybody is in their own home, which isn't that interesting, watching the way people actually live? I love the whole idea of everybody sitting in front of a bookcase and checking into which books they read. Here's another thing I want to share with you about watch what they're doing. You know that the Women's Soccer League has been in court fighting for equal pay with the Men's Soccer League, and the women are the ones who won the World Championship, not the men. Well, their fight for equal pay took a big hit yesterday. A judge issued a ruling in favor of the U.S. Soccer Federation. Molly Levinson, who is a spokesperson for the women, said, "We are shocked and disappointed with today's decision, but we will not give up our hard work for equal pay. We are confident in our case and steadfast in our commitment to ensuring that girls and women who play this sport will not be valued as lesser just because of their gender." Welcome to the real world, where women are considered lesser because of their gender. And then you can take real pride in what's going on in a place like New Zealand, where the Prime Minister of that country has made an incredible difference. And in fact, they are down to the point where they are showing almost no new cases of the virus, largely because of her leadership. It's time women ran the world. I mean, come on. Men have been doing it since time immemorial, and I can't see that they've done such a great job. On the plus side for athletes, college athletes will now be able to get paid for the use of their names, their images, their likenesses, you know, on T-shirts, on shoes, on lunchboxes, I don't know. If approved, the rules are expected to take effect at the start of the 21-22 academic year. Not this year, but next year. And it means that the National Collegiate Athletic Association is putting together a plan that will allow college athletes to be able to be paid for their name or likeness so that they can afford to stay in school, I guess. And listen, if you have been thinking about, with airline prices so low right now, if you've been thinking about maybe traveling, I just want to share with you that there are new procedures that are going to be put in place. Individual airlines are doing things differently. Some airlines are now requiring masks and social distancing, which means they may just get rid of the middle seat. But how is that going to make a difference? If the person in the window has to go to the bathroom, they're going to have to climb over you anyway. But luggage check-in, security clearance, boarding, you may even need to have your blood tested. They certainly will want to take your temperature. Online check-in. Passengers might need to upload a document to confirm that they have antibodies, meaning they've already had the disease and they can't get it again. And we're not so sure of that. Curbside, passengers could be required to arrive at least 4 hours ahead of their flight and to go through a disinfection tunnel or a thermal scanner of some kind. Agents will be behind plexiglass shields. Bags would be disinfected and sanitized. And the pre-flight safety video, you know, that thing that they always flash that those of us who fly a lot don't even pay attention to, well, it might now start including sanitation procedures. In-flight magazines will be removed. Seat back pockets will be emptied. Passengers will probably have to use their own devices to watch videos. You won't get something that the airline gives you that then gets reused by someone else. There are going to be some big changes made. Oh, I wish we had that song right now. There'll be some changes made today. Look, maybe nothing will still be the same. Maybe we will all be a bit more cautious. We are all in this together. The world is not that big a place, especially when you see the pictures from outer space and we're this little blue marble floating through the universe. Those who think that this is some personal discomfort to them individually, like some of these yahoos that are out there protesting, and we need the government to be back open. We want to be able to go out to a restaurant. I don't care if I die. I'll take that chance. Well, good for you, but you're also taking the chance that I might die. So I want to share with you some inspirational words from no less than Bill Gates. Now, you know, a lot of people on the right are saying, well, Bill Gates has put together this whole virus thing because he's going to try and control medical something or other worldwide. Get over yourself. Here are some inspiring words from Bill Gates. He said, when you go out and see the empty streets, the empty stadiums, the empty train platforms, don't say to yourself, my God, it looks like the end of the world. What you're seeing is love in action. What you're seeing in that negative space is how much we do care for each other, for our grandparents, for our immunocompromised brothers and sisters, for people we will never meet. People will lose jobs over this. Some will lose their businesses. Some will lose their lives. All the more reason to take a moment when you're out on your walk, on your way to the store, or just watching the news, to look into the emptiness and marvel at all that love. Let it fill you and sustain you. This isn't the end of the world. It's the most remarkable act of global solidarity we may ever witness. It is the reason the world will go on. As long as we have people like that who can think that way and who, with the millions and billions of dollars that he has made, is willing to put them back into trying to help the world, which he does and which he has, there is hope for us all. Now, we have an election coming up in 2020. And it turns out that in polls that have been run prior to the attempts by the Trump campaign to try and destroy Joe Biden, it turns out that polls show that Joe Biden is more trusted with regarding this virus fight than Donald Trump. Americans were 15 points more likely to say they would prefer having Joe Biden handling this crisis rather than Trump. Last month, Americans were more evenly split. But now, most Americans say they've made up their minds about who to support for president. Although, 42% of independent voters said that this virus pandemic will be a factor in making their decision. And interestingly enough, and this is not good news for the Trump campaign, the preference for leadership by Joe Biden in this virus pandemic was most obvious among older Americans, the people who do show up to vote, and the people who did, in fact, support Trump. Biden was preferred to handle the virus by 64% of those over the age of 73, and those are the people who do show up to vote. Now, David Frum, who was a former speechwriter for President George W. Bush, and who is no fan of Donald Trump, he said that Donald Trump is sacrificing the lives of other Americans to the virus in a desperate bid to save himself politically. This was up on Twitter. David Frum claimed that reports that the White House is now pivoting its pandemic messaging to the economy showed that Trump is consciously choosing to risk higher virus casualties. President has already said, he knows that the second quarter is not going to look good and that the third quarter will be transitional because the fourth quarter is where we're going to start taking off again. Well, guess what? During the fourth quarter is when the election is being held. And the results of the fourth quarter won't come out until 2021. So he is hoping that those numbers will look like they're heading in the direction that would give him a chance to be reelected. David Frum said this is a desperate gamble to save himself by sacrificing others. In other words, Frum is saying the president is pushing to reopen faster than is appropriate given what the virus is doing in our culture. He also warned it's not very likely to work. And it turns out from reporting we heard this week that Trump is very upset with his own campaign because of his ratings. He doesn't want those lowered poll numbers. Apparently, he threatened to sue his own campaign manager. I don't know how you sue your campaign manager for the fact that your own poll ratings are lower. And look, we got to go through this. I talked about the fact that the Trump campaign is trying to tie Joe Biden to China because they want to blame China for everything. Well, now we've got this whole thing about the sexual assault claim against Joe Biden. And yesterday, for the first time, Joe Biden was asked directly about whether he sexually assaulted his former Senate staffer, Tara Reid, back in 1993. He said, "I am saying unequivocally it never, never happened. And it didn't." He said, "I'm not going to question her motive. She has a right to say whatever she wants to say, but I have a right to say, look at the facts. Check it out. Find out whether any of what she says is true. I'm not suggesting she had no right to come forward. They should be heard, and then it should be investigated. Ultimately, the truth matters." We'll see where that goes. I have to say, what she is claiming, I can't imagine Joe Biden doing. But then, I don't know Joe Biden.
Because you only think you know the truth. Striking blows against the corporate talk radio monolith in the Coachella Valley. iHub Radio. Participation encouraged, but not required. Here's Anita Rufus.
And again, I thank you so much for joining me live every Saturday from 10 to noon here at iHub Radio. Reruns available different times of the day or night. You can find those listings and information. I also have another show on iHub which runs during the week, during the day, called That's Life. No politics at all. And subjects that really do present issues that we can all relate to just as human beings. Okay, with regard to the 2020 election, the claim by Tara Reid that Joe Biden attacked her physically and sexually back in 1993, she does deserve to be heard. Some of the reality of who she told at the time or how her story has changed over all those years doesn't negate the fact that it might have happened. It is hard to believe of Joe Biden just knowing how he operates in the world, although there have been a lot of women who have said he made them uncomfortable because he's a touchy-feely guy. But it's one thing to be touchy-feely and rubbing someone's shoulder or giving someone a kiss on the cheek. It's another thing to put your hand up some woman's skirt and supposedly use your fingers to violate her physically. However, I must say, given the president that we have sitting in the White House, who has been accused credibly many, 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 many times, something like 19 times, Donald Trump has so devalued the concept of sexual assault that nothing sticks to him anymore. In fact, when he was asked about this during the week at one of his press things, one of the reporters said something and about, at that point, Joe Biden had not made a big public statement, which he did yesterday. And the president said, well, you know, and there could be a false claim. I certainly know about that. The problem is that we have no greater expectation of Donald Trump. We know who he is. And when it comes to women, Donald Trump is a pig. However, he has devalued these claims against him in a way that none of these claims stick to Donald Trump because we don't have any greater expectation of him, but they do stick to somebody like Joe Biden. Even one claim of this kind of personal violation of a sexual nature sticks to someone like Joe Biden because we don't expect that kind of behavior from him at all. And he was very clear that there was no truth to it, and that if, in fact, she had filed a claim at the time with the personnel office while he was a senator, that that information would be in the archives that are maintained by the Senate. And he said he wants the Senate to make any such claim public. So, of course, other people are saying, well, but what about his own personal? If he had his own personal papers donated to the University of Delaware, okay. But that would not include those kinds of personnel documents. Those would have been filed with the Senate and would be sitting in the archives. And if the senators really want to try and catch him on this, they would go and find it. He claims it does not exist. And members of his staff back then claim they never saw a complaint, they never heard a complaint, no complaint was filed that they know of. So we'll see. Meanwhile, as part of his campaign, Joe Biden is saying he may name some potential cabinet members, including some Republicans, who he would bring into office with him. He is trying to promote himself as a unity candidate who can appeal to both liberals and moderates and even some conservative voters. And that's a smart move for him, so that we would understand the kind of cabinet that he would be surrounding himself with. Plus, you need to know that as of tomorrow, Sunday, federal law mandates that by tomorrow, Joe Biden and aides to President Trump must sit down and start planning transition. The White House originally declined to comment about this, but it has to happen. This is federal law that you must start preparing a transition team for a smooth handoff in case Joe Biden does unseat the president. Now, one of the challenges will be with Trump, what if he doesn't accept the results of an election? Well, yes, that is another thing that people have talked about, because, you know, he loves to talk about fraud and voters voting who shouldn't be voting and, you know, like that. Looks like we may be heading toward more absentee voting because people do support that all over the country. And people should be allowed to vote. And voting by mail, unlike what the president said, is not rife with fraud. And I also will tell you that Justin Amash, Representative Justin Amash, who was a Republican but became an independent from Michigan, is launching an exploratory committee to seek the Libertarian Party nomination. So once again, we may end up with votes being siphoned off from the Democrats by someone who is running on a third party. Now, I want to share quickly with you, there is this organization called the Lincoln Group that is includes a lot of high-profile Republicans who are totally against President Trump, and they include Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, and this is a statement that he released where he said, "We don't blame Trump for the virus. Here's a detailed list of what we do blame him for." And then there's about 10 different points that they make about ways in which Donald Trump has not been doing a good job of managing this virus crisis. And then it ends with George Conway saying, "We do not blame Trump for the virus. We blame him for gutting the nation's preparations to deal with it. We blame him for bungling testing and allowing it to spread uninhibited. We blame him for wasting taxpayer money on applause lines at his rallies. We blame him for putting his own political life over American human life." This is a very powerful message, and I believe that it reflects what an awful lot of Republicans do think. However, you never know how it's going to go until everybody votes. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. Saturdays live from 10 to noon here at iHub Radio. I thank you for joining me. Have a good week and find a way to make a difference.